Okay, so next talk is another friendly visitor from last year, Fernando Pablo López Lezcano. Last year he was speaking about Planet Karma, and this year it's much more about one of his, I guess, personal pets, working with a Lisp and lots of silly intrepid. What was the title of your talk? Parenthesis. Yeah, okay. Whatever, I have no idea. Before you start, one short announcement. We had planned to do a workshop tomorrow. That will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. about extending LATSBUS. So Steve Harris will attend, so will Fons, and whoever else wants to join them. They will be meeting here at the info point tomorrow at 10:05, and then Frank, you will come with me? You will join them? Or, not sure. Okay, he's sleeping. Oh, anyway. Either you or me will open the door. He is the key for that room, and I do have the same key, so anyway, we'll be there, and whoever wants to join them on some rather technical discussion, join them tomorrow at 10, so you have 1 hour even before the talk start if you're able to get up this early. Okay then, Fernando, you ready? Yeah. Here's your audience.
Hello? Okay, yeah, that's different. Again, first credit where credit is due, Common Lisp Music is by Bill Shostet, written by Bill Shostet, and Common Music by Rick Tobby. In my initial, you know, title and blurb about the talk, I mentioned that it was not, I mean, that it was a talk based on a non-real time synthesis system, and Bill got a little pissed off because actually it's a little bit more than that. CLM, which stands for Common Lisp Music, is an environment for synthesis and sound processing that can be run in Common Lisp, in Scheme, in Ruby, and also in plain C. So it has several incarnations that do the same thing. In particular, the Scheme version is built into the SND sound editor, which you probably all know, and Bill Shostet wrote as well. The incarnation I will be using during this talk is the one that's based on Common Lisp, and that's the oldest, and the one that was originally created around 1989, I believe. And I was also wrong in stating that it was an unreal time a language. It can actually be used in real time as well. It's not very convenient to do so, but there's nothing in the design that precludes that. In Common Lisp, which is, so this is going to be a 5 minute or 4 minute introduction to what CLM is. In the Common Lisp version, an instrument is actually Lisp code, and I'll bring up one, which would be probably the most basic instrument you can build or close to it. So instruments are defined in pretty much the same way as functions are defined in Lisp. Instead of using defun, you use def instrument. You supply a name, a list of parameters that the instrument will take, and then the instrument itself. The instrument itself has two parts, usually. The first part initializes all the blocks that are going to be used to produce and or transform sound. And the second part is a loop that processes or creates one sample at a time the sound. In its Common Lisp implementation, CLM treats this second part, the part that is encased in this run command, in a certain special way. The first part, this part that is going to be initializing the blocks that do the processing, that's plain Lisp, and it's compiled by the Lisp compiler into Lisp, compile Lisp. The second part, if you use the run loop, is actually going to be translated into C by CLM itself, and that C code is going to be compiled and then loaded as part of that, the instrument, as a dynamically loaded library into the Lisp environment. And why that complication? Because we want this part to run as fast as possible. That's the part of the instrument that takes longest to run. So in the common Lisp world, the CLM instruments are hybrids. They have a part that is compiled Lisp code, the initialization of the instrument, and then the actual code that does the hard work of generating the samples is actually C code that's optimized by the native C compiler that's part of the environment you're running CLM on. Let's go a little bit into Common Music. Common Music is a separate program that it's compiled and loaded as part of the same Lisp image and provides a lot of things that are very useful for doing algorithmic composition. Common Music by Rick Tobby, again, can be had in two or compiled into two versions, one running on top of Common Lisp, another one running on top of Scheme. Common Music goes from a description of music in some way to some output syntax that can generate sound ultimately. And thus Common Music can be used with many languages. It can output, for example, C sound. It can output MIDI. And it can also output CLM code that can generate the sound, which is what I'm going to be doing now. Anyway, so the first thing I would do is fire app Lisp and load the Common Music and CLM subsystems into it, which just happened, and load a couple of things and see if this works. Okay, so we have sound. So this is the same instrument that we were looking at here, and it's the probably most basic instrument that does something that you can write in CLM. It has four parameters that are mandatory: start time, duration, frequency, and amplitude. It has one key argument that's optional, the amplitude envelope for the whole sound. And I don't want to extend on how this works, but basically the instrument is creating two blocks, an oscillator and an envelope in these two statements, and then it's connecting them through plain Lisp code and sending them out the first channel of a possibly multi-channel output sound file. So this actually produces the next sample of the oscillator, which is multiplied times this parameter amplitude and the output of the envelope, and that's it. That's being sent to sample number I of the output sound file that's being created. And I is the index to this loop that goes from the first sample that the instrument produces to the last one. Instruments in CLM are treated just like Lisp functions, and they're called as Lisp functions as in here. So this is a sine wave that starts at 0 seconds, lasts for 1 second, has a frequency of 440, and an amplitude of 0.1 in a relative amplitude of range of 0 to 1. And now I will go into outlining synthesis methods. So I'm not going to concentrate as much on the Lisp code as on how to do things and how to create sounds with examples in this particular language, but it could be a different language. So the most, all of you know what the time domain representation of a sound and the frequency domain representation of a sound are. You know about the Fourier transform and how it can bridge both worlds. You know about Nyquist, meaning what's the highest frequency that you can represent in a digital stream that is sampled as at a certain frequency, and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to do that. If you look at the spectrum of a sound, and we could do that here using SND. So this is what I just generated. That's my sound. Let's look at the frequency spectrum. And in this particular case, we have just one spectral line, which is our sine wave. And we'll be coming back to this display later. So looking at that, we can start with additive synthesis, and we can add sine waves together to create more complex tones. And this would be the hard way of doing it. In this particular example, I'm just doing a loop over some partial amplitudes and collecting sine waves in an output sound file as I go. The calls to instruments have to be surrounded by a wrapper called WithSound. So WithSound does the actual setup of input-output streams, sampling rate for the sound file, number of channels, reverberation processing, and all that. But inside a WithSound, you can use arbitrary Lisp code to do things. We could create an instrument that uses an array of oscillators to do additive synthesis that is more complex than what I'm doing here. Additive synthesis in this particular case is being done on integer partials. That's the least generic way of doing it. You have several more complicated ways, and the last one would be where you have envelopes for each partial that would change amplitude and would change frequency and possibly phase as a function of time over the duration of one note. Now, as I say here, even a few partials can do amazing things, and this is coming from a demo that is part of CLM, not a demo, a file. And I'm going to be running this, which is American Bird Songs. So this is all additive synthesis. In particular, we can look at this bird.clm file, and each of the songs is defined in terms of one of this simple additive synthesis instruments called bird that has parameters for the glissando and amplitude envelope of each one of the little pieces of the song. And this is actually an illustration of, let's stop the birds. That's enough. Oh, you liked it? Okay. We can play them back later. But this is an illustration on how, a very simple one, on how you can use Lisp code to encapsulate behavior. I have an instrument called Bird, which is very simple. It does wavetable synthesis, additive synthesis. And it's actually being called from within a function. So now this function represents this particular bird's call. And I can use that within a with sound, what you were just listening to, with a with sound call, where all the birds are shown one after the other, right, by name. So you could write a piece where you had all these birds singing, and you could parameterize the birds' calls as well so that you could do things with them. All this was written by Bill, And Bill actually used a ruler a long time ago to measure spectrograms of bird calls and introduce the data that is part of this file. Anyway, let's go back to additive synthesis. So additive synthesis in its most complex form produces an explosion of parameters. Imagine you have 10 or 20 partials with its own their own frequency and amplitude envelopes, and each one maybe with 10, 20, 50 breakpoints. That's quickly becomes very hard to manage. By the way, this is like I teach a course at Karma on that deals with sound synthesis and algorithmic composition. So this would be a 40-minute or actually 30-minute extract of something that I teach in a quarter and should be taught in a year. So this is going to be very condensed. So one way to deal with complex additive synthesis is to cheat, is to analyze sounds, real sounds. You know, extract all that information, then message them, and then resynthesize the sounds. And there's a subsystem you can load into CLM called ATS, Analysis, Transformation, and Synthesis by Juan Pampin, that does just that. So let me load it up. And it doesn't work. Of course. Oh, yeah, that's because I didn't do what I should have done, which is follow what I have here, right? So this is a system that analyzes a real sound and builds up a representation inside Lisp of that sound that can later be used to resynthesize it with additive synthesis techniques. So the way you start things up would be by taking a real sound, like this clarinet sample, and passing it through the tracker. The tracker is going to do a two-stage analysis. It extracts the sine wave components from the sound file, then subtract that from the initial sound file, and models the residue, which is going to be a noisy thing, using noise frequency bands with different amplitudes to match the noise profile that that we have. I have here this previously analyzed, and I could load it up. So the clarinet is now loaded, and what I will do is play a few examples of resynthesizing it. For example, this is going to do a resynthesis of this clarinet sound, and that's only the sine waves. This doesn't include the noise component. This one actually includes the noise. And this is doing resynthesis using inverse FFTs. And you could probably hear a little bit of the noise. And let's listen to the noise only. Okay, so that's the clarinet minus the sine waves. And this is contained, I mean, the analysis, the result of the analysis is contained into a variable called, in this case, CL. And CL contains a list of all the envelopes for both frequency, amplitude, and the strengths of the noise components for this particular sound. And there are functions that you can use that I will not demonstrate because of lack of time, that you can use to change that data. For example, I could stretch a sound. I could filter out some of the individual sine waves so that they are not resynthesized. I could do swapping. I could do a lot of things. So anyway, this was as this was just an example of one way to manage the complexity of full additive synthesis. But that's okay. Just one way of doing synthesis. We could do things the other way around, which is so far we have been starting up with sine waves and adding them up to create complex sounds. We could go the other way. We could start with harmonically reached waveforms and then use filters to subtract what we don't want. So let me load up this oscillator, which is a band-limited sawtooth oscillator. And yeah, if we go back to SND, we can indeed see that it's a harmonically rich waveform. So to illustrate subtractive synthesis, let's add to this a Moog digital filter and load an instrument that uses that filter to apply it to the samples, and this would be what it would sound like. So in this particular case, if we look at the instrument itself, it's using a default filter frequency, corner frequency of 600 Hertz and a Q of 0.9. If you use a Moog filter, you probably want to sweep the filter, and that's what this does. And you have your analog sound there. It would be easy to turn this into an analog synthesizer strip that you could use to do things in this virtual analog domain. In this particular case, I was using this optional key argument to sweep the filter from 400 Hertz to 2000 Hertz over the duration of the note, which is what you just heard. We could change as well the amplitude envelope. And let's do something a little better. We could change the Q also as it goes. Anyway, there are implementations of a lot of filters that come with CLM. You have your basically, whatever you want, you probably will find it built into CLM as an example instrument or unit generator. Now we'll leave this domain of additive subtractive synthesis and we go into another approach to synthesis, which is modulation synthesis. So you have your basic things like ring modulation, which is basically multiplying two waveforms. If we look at the instrument, it's called ring modulation. And this is a very, very simple instrument. Again, it has two oscillators this time, a carrier and a modulator, and they are both actually multiplied together to generate the sound. And if we go into non-audio frequencies, we just get a tremolo, which is, this was 0.5 hertz periodic variation of the amplitude of the carrier as modulated by the modulator. If you go into audio frequencies, you gradually shift from perceiving this as a tremolo to perceiving it as two discrete tones. So I'm changing the modulator frequency as we go, and we can look at how this works. Expand this. Oops. And you can see the two sidebands that are created spreading in frequency across around the frequency of the carrier, which would be where the cursor is. Can you see that? Yeah. Okay. So we could do, and this again is a very simple loop inside a with sound that is changing parameters for this call of the instrument, the ring modulation instrument. We could do that with more complex waveforms, and for both the carrier or modulator, and you can see how the the spectrum of the modulator is modulated onto the spectrum of the carrier, which has three partials. This particular instrument is using wavetable additive synthesis so you can specify. Oops, no, that's not the one. So you can specify the spectrum of the carrier and the spectrum of the modulator. In this case, it has three partials at 1, 2, and 5 times the frequency of the carrier with this amplitude, 0.5, 0.2, and 0.1. You also have amplitude modulation, which is another take on nonlinear synthesis. And of course, frequency modulation, where what we change is not the amplitude of the carrier, but the frequency of the carrier. Again, for very low frequencies, this is just vibrato, right? Once we go into audio range, we transition into listening to a spectrum. The actual amount of modulation that I apply is going to be defining the number and strength of overtones that are generated. Now, if we go into, I mean, this was just a one pair, one modulator and one carrier. Another instrument that's available, widely used, is called by Bill Shuss, that is called the FM violin, because with default parameters, it sort of sounds like a violin. But it's a parallel modulation FM instrument with three modulators and one carrier, and it can sound it can create many, many different sounds, as you all know, depending on the parameters that you select and modify. This second call, for example, I'm changing the modulation index for all modulators to be 2. Then we have a brighter sound. We have more partials being generated by the call. And again, this is hard to... again, we can do the same thing to show how the modulation index changing over time creates more and more partials. Let's go to view and where is it here? I don't know if you can see it. Yeah, you can see how we get more and more partials as we increase the modulation index, which is just the amount by which the modulator oscillator is changing the frequency of the carrier. Of course, we can put envelopes on the different modulation indexes for each one of the modulators. And of course, we can change the ratios of the frequencies of the modulators to the carrier, so that we get not harmonic spectras If they are integers, then because of the mathematics behind it, you get harmonic spectra. If they're non-integers, you get things like this, which give rise to tons of instruments that can imitate drums and bells and gongs and all that. And I'm not going to go into details. Let's load a gong. Okay. So, algorithmic composition. Probably you won't expect me to tell you how to compose automatically with computers. I'm not going to do that. In the context of Common Music and CLM, algorithmic composition is very simple because you have available to you all the power of a normal, let's say, language that you can use. Instruments are just functions from the point of view of what you do in Common Lisp. So anything that can call an instrument, any program, can generate notes and write them to the output sound file. So in this case, I'm just creating random notes by using a very simple loop that changes parameters to the instrument. And that's very pointless, but it's an easy demonstration of what would be very basic algorithms. And time is going too fast. We can use more, sophisticated wouldn't be the word, but different ways of controlling parameters. And one would be to use unidimensional automata. So let me load a couple of functions that can be used to create linear automata. Okay. So you probably have seen this before, fabric examples. What do they look like? Well, like this. So this is a linear automata that starts with just one member. And it evolves over time based on a set of rules that determine when each one of those components of this linear automata will survive, die, or be created. We can use things that we extract from the linear automata to drive our CLM instruments, for example, the population. And you can see how things evolve over time. And eventually, for example, in this case, they get into a loop because the linear automata is repeating. It's a pattern that is repeating. Depending on how many components you have, and how they are initialized, you can do things that are maybe not so repetitive. I'm not claiming anything of this is musical, right? Just to make sure. It's just an example. You could do a lot of things, and I could if I had more time, so I'm going to skip a lot. You could map things into control spaces. You can have variable tempo. Let's see how this sounds like. I don't have a clue. Not very good. Ooh. We fired this composer. This is not good. So I'm changing tempo, for example, on this one as we go through time. Stop it. Okay, no more time. We forget about cellular automata, although I have a lot more examples. There is, well, anyway, no time. You can parameterize things, for example, and in this example I have a function that actually calls has a loop and parameters, and eventually calls our example instrument. And you can call that many times to create parallel lines of linear automata controlled stupid players, in this case two. Okay. You can use fractals as well. And in this case, well, in this case, I better restart list because I found that there is a problem. So let me do that. And I have no idea why, but well, such is software. I keep doing this. Okay, let's load this and this and this. I think that's all we need. So this is a recursive use that creates a fractal style thing. So it's a function called Sierpinski that calls itself and changes the way, each time it calls itself, changes the way in which it generates nodes. Let's go through this. Wow, I ran out of time. That's fast. Let's call this at least once. Something is clipping. If I call it with different, let's do just one layer of this. So that's the first. It's three nodes, and the nodes are defined by this list here, right? They are based on A0, and it's semitones above A0. So if I add another layer to this fractal, we have the same pattern repeated faster within each note. So it's the same thing based on each one of the previous three notes. Another layer, and the same thing happens. Okay. And it's a fractal. No matter how deep you go into it, you have the same form that happens. And we could go higher, and it gets ridiculous, obviously. And as with all fractals, it's a very complicated structure, but it's described by very simple rules. I mean, this program is very simple, actually. Or we could, let's do one more thing. Your choice of a piece by, glass phase or physical modeling. I don't know. It's this is accurate control of tempo. And that's the core of this piece, which is resynthesized here through an algorithm. And, okay, let's load it. Come on. Okay, let's create this one here. Thank you. hurry up. Takes a while. Unless it's hung. So this is two instances. And at some point, the tempo of one over a certain period of time is going to change. So the two patterns will shift, which is what's happening now. Happens again. And so on and so forth. I mean, we could keep going. We could also play, I mean, my idea was to get from here to physical modeling, but that's it. So we can do it later if anybody's interested. We can, you know, do a meeting for this, a birds of the same feather. I was going into this, which has some noises here, but yeah, this doesn't sound very good. Anyway, this is using the physical model piano instrument that is part of CLM, which doesn't sound very well in the middle register, but if anybody's interested, I'll show you them the complete demo that doesn't fit in 40 minutes. Questions? Oh, well.
Okay, so yeah, right.
You select.
Let's start with this guy behind the column.
So as well as play one of my favorite pieces of music and seeing it written in Lisp, I was just wondering if I've just watched Emacs talk to Jack or not.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not running Jack, but this could output through Jack.
Okay.
So
CLM can...
CLM uses a helper application, SND okay. Play. It doesn't...
Oh, so it generates the sound and then
yeah,
puts it out
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, okay. So it's not operating in real-time mode.
Okay.
Actually, it's operating most of the time in faster than real-time mode because it's generating the notes, individual notes, much faster than real-time. And you can see that in some of the output here. Let's see if I find... one. Well, no, not in this run, and I got rid of the other, but it can print statistics, and that tells you how fast it's actually running. We could do that with just, I don't know, the FM violin, if I can find it. Come on. Well, or... yeah, here. So if I call in a with sound, with statistics T, it prints things, and the number, the important number is this one. So 1.00 would be generating in real time, taking as much time as the note. 0.03 means it's really faster, a lot faster, anyway. So I could start QJack CTL and it would play through it.
Yeah. Can you ever run CLM in real time mode, or is it inherently generate then play?
No, no. You can run it in real time mode. Mm-hmm. In fact, you have another version of Dev Instrument called Dev P Instrument, which is parallel instrument that generates codes that does the scheduling to run everything sample synchronous. So it runs one sample from each instrument that is currently playing at that time. In the real-time mode, the note list, whatever is being generated, has to be time order, obviously. In non-real-time mode, which is the way I usually work with it, there's no such restriction. Your output sound file is a canvas, and you can paint notes at any time in any place. Okay? Any more questions?
One or two short questions, Frank.
Short question, maybe long answer. So how do I learn this?
Sorry?
How do I learn this?
How do you learn? Yeah. Okay, so the huge advantage of an environment like this one, and it's not the only environment like this that works this way, is that you have a huge language at your command. And the huge disadvantage of the environment is the same thing, that you have a huge language at your command. How do you learn it? You have to learn a little bit of Common Lisp, and there's good books that you can even download. If you search for Common Lisp and Turevsky, there's a PDF that you can load of the whole book. Then you could go through probably a good resource would be to go through the notes of my class. There is no such thing as a complete CLM tutorial. There is a completely complete CLM manual, but that's a reference manual. It has a small tutorial at the beginning that can get you started. So that would be probably the first thing you would try to do. Obviously, you have to get CMUCL or CLISP to get started with.
Okay, there's an option to in Germany to learn in Essen and in Berlin, and I know because I'm teaching in Essen, or used to teach it in Essen. I was actually having people from out of university who were asking me whether they could take part in it, okay. And it was never a problem.
Okay.
So just if people get interested, contact me or Fernando. Maybe we can give you some advice where to go to learn it.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll take one more question from the web. Johannes, got someone here?
Yeah, the question is, can CLM output MIDI or respond to MIDI events in real time?
No, CLM is sound synthesis. So CLM cannot and doesn't deal with MIDI at all. What can deal with MIDI is Common Music, which is containing the same Lisp image, but it's a separate program. Common Music can generate MIDI and can listen to MIDI even in real time through MIDI share. So I could run, for example, I guess, I haven't tried, but I could run the piano phase piece with an output syntax that is not CLM, but MIDI. Connect Common Music's MIDI output through MIDI share to FluidSynth running in MIDI share mode and have that rendered in real time. Okay? So anyway, it's two different, it gets very confusing because they share the same environment. They are there at the same time, but it's two separate packages. CLM processes sound files, creates sound files, generates sounds, modifies sounds, doesn't deal with MIDI, doesn't even have the concept of a note name. It deals in hertz, amplitudes in 0 to 0.21, and so on and so forth. Common Music, on the other hand, can help bridge the gap from musical entities like note names to frequencies and drive CLM, make it easier to use. And Common Music also can deal with things that are not CLM, that are other syntaxes, for example MIDI, in which case you do have a way to interact with the Lisp environment through MIDI. Okay? I hope that was more or less clear. Okay.
Okay, thanks Fernando. That's saw there were lots of examples you have not been able to play in this short amount of time, so the natural suggestion is now if you and some of the audience are interested, you could maybe do a workshop on this theme.
If anybody's interested, just let me know.
Okay. Yeah, so you just maybe contact him and then you together decide on a date. And if you found something outside at the info booth, we have a piece of A3 paper with several empty slots, so you can put in your name, topic and a date, and then we'll try to get you there and do some more pieces or demos or whatever. Yeah.
The piece I actually have tonight in the concert was entirely created with a CLM and Common Music. So there's no external processing at all. It's direct from Lisp to disk. Okay? Thank you.
And those, yep.